Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are reporting from Rimini, Italy, which is the home of the 26th championships of the Fédération Internationale Société de Magie. This is pretty darn exciting with, I don't know, I'm going to have to find out. There are over 2,000 magicians who are registered here. I'll get the final numbers later, but it's going to be a lot of fun, so you will learn in this opening preamble or prelude a little bit about what FISM is all about, and we get to talk with one of the past judges and also with someone who does a lot of writing and listens and watches all of the contests. Anyhow, stay tuned. Watch for other updates. Will be coming over the next few days, but this is just a little taste before the convention actually begins, kind of a prelude again. So this will be day zero from Rimini, Italy. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we have arrived in Rimini, and the first friend that I see here is Craig Mitchell. Hello, Craig.
Hi, Scott. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well, all the way from South Africa.
Long way away, just like you.
Yes, exactly right. I wonder which of us have come the further. I was going to guess you.
I think I may win just by a little bit.
Now, you ask what number this is, night number three for the FISM, and how many of these have you attended?
Since 97.
Since 97.
Since 97, so which was based in Germany.
Okay.
So I haven't missed one yet.
And you write these up too, don't you?
It seems like
you
have. I try my best.
You have a. And what is your blog or what's the website?
We're on the Genie Forum.
On the Genie Forum, okay.
We'll be doing daily updates there.
Yeah, so that's right. I remember now from the last time. It wasn't Blackpool last time?
Yep.
Yeah, because it was Beijing before that. Yeah. I didn't go to Beijing or to Blackpool. So, anyhow, with this one, you're going to be starting writing something up straight away.
Hopefully this evening, day naught, the excitement starts. Everyone's looking forward to a great 7 days.
And so what actually is happening in this evening? We're here on Sunday. Actually, the official activities start tomorrow?
Everything starts tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. with the stage contest, but they're doing registration this evening from 7 p.m.
So and that's all there is, just registration?
That's all there is tonight. So, officially, the convention starts tomorrow.
Okay, but the dealers are open tonight or not? I see they're getting ready.
Not to my knowledge, but you never know. Some of them may sneak in some extra sales.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'll try and maximize their time.
This isn't the dealer fair through here, is it? Just in the main lobby?
It extends all the way around, both sides and upstairs and down.
So
they've actually brought the dealer's room into the main hall. So normally it's in a separate exhibition hall. The dealers are actually now in all the passageways and corridors along with some of the upstairs venues as well.
How do they provide security for keeping people who are not magicians? Good question, eh?
Very good question, and I was thinking exactly the same thing.
We're on the same page.
Obviously, in Italy, everyone is good friends with everyone else.
Apparently so, and everyone is trustworthy and honest and not have to worry about stealing things. So good. It won't be the kind of thing like they had in China, I guess, where they were...
Let's hold thumbs.
Okay, we'll talk about that at the end of the convention when we compare
notes. How successful they were respecting everyone's rights.
That's right. So the next one, which is going to be in 3 years, we'll talk about this towards the end also. I saw something, I think, on Twitter. They said both Korea and Finland are a couple who are wanting to put their name
in
the running.
Those are the two bit cities, so Helsinki in Finland and then South Korea.
Any place else that you've heard?
No, those are the only two bits.
Oh, that's it. So it's either going to be one or the other.
It's either going to be Korea or it's going to Finland.
Wow, interesting.
So both international destinations. It'll be interesting to see who gets the vote.
South Korea seems to have some tremendous magicians, you know.
There's that whole Asian resurgence, which is absolutely fantastic. But I think there's quite a groundswell of support for Helsinki. Mm-hmm. The only problem with Helsinki is that they want them to make the convention 1 day shorter. So as opposed to 6 days, 5 days.
They're going to cram more into just a few more days? Or one
That's their supposed theory. And I think it's a dangerous precedent. We only have one FISM every 3 years.
Right.
It's our favorite magic destination, a magic vacation. We need to savor it and protect it.
Of the places that you've been traveling since 97, which has been your favorite location? Well,
most people always say it's your first one. And for me, it was Dresden, Germany. And that was a special one. And everyone who also went there and had been to multiple also said that the Germans had put on their own special magic touch.
I would agree with that. When I was at The Hague, it seemed like everything was just perfectly on time, very punctual that way, and it was my first, and so I can see that.
Every destination puts on their something unique about it, for good or bad.
Right. Now, you are not doing the IMX anymore. You kind of laid out for a while, the International Magic.
We've got the South African Magic Championships coming up in October, so literally a week after GenieCon.
Okay.
So we are jumping between conventions, and we've got Max Maven, Rob Zabrecki, Paul Wilson, they're coming down to South Africa and Cape Town. And so let's keep us busy.
And for people who are interested and want to find out more about that, the website is...
samagic2015.co.za. So if they've ever wanted to come to South Africa, now's a good time. October, you can combine your Magic Convention with your safari as well.
And I guess that's summertime or spring, October, springtime?
Going into spring.
Okay.
Perfect time of the year.
Okay. Speaking of Genie, then, are you going to be, I assume, coming to the Genie Convention?
Hoping to attend Genie.
And Magic Live, too?
Unfortunately, we couldn't fit Magic Live.
Wow, you'd be going to everything, man.
No. Unfortunately, FISM, after 7 days, one doesn't want to see another magic show for a long time. So there was just perfect space before we could try to squeeze Genie.
I've got to go to Jacksonville, as I said, for the IBM. So after that, I think I'll be Magic out for a little while.
I think Sean's going to win the prize, Sean Farquhar, for having done SAM, FISM, IBM, and no doubt you'll probably try and fit in a Vegas and GenieCon as well.
And Genie as well, that's right. Well, very good. We'll talk some more.
Because
I know you're going to be going and watching all the contests. Because I know
all 150 acts.
And when they start tomorrow, will they begin with the close-up or stage?
Stage contest, 8:30 a.m.
Okay.
Which is a ridiculously early start. So the dedicated few will be there at the start. And as the week progresses, fewer and fewer people. But there's so much happening for the next 7 days. There are multiple lectures whilst the contest is taking place. So people have to pick and choose.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a glorious 7 days in Italy.
And now, whenever the people are competing, let's say for manipulation or for mentalism or whatever, are there? I know there are categories for each. Are they all grouped at one time, or so? In other words, all manipulators, or are they just scattered throughout the whole week?
They're scattered throughout. So you may have a stage illusionist follow the manipulator, following the comedy magician.
But you have the same stage judge for all, who will say how many points they get for
the stage jury stays the same, and the close-up jury stays the same
for all, and then the
final round where I believe they add an extra judge.
Because in close-up they have cards and coins and. What else do they got?
Micro and Parlor and all the various subdivisions.
Right. And there may not be a first prize or a second gift.
It's based on points. So somebody may, in fact, be the best of the competitors, but if they haven't scored sufficiently for a first prize, they won't be awarded a first prize.
It's important that I talk with you first about this, because a lot of people listening to FISM in this particular podcast will be wondering about how that...
So they can't understand why there was only a second place was awarded in a contest. And mentalism is normally a category like that, where you may only find a third place is awarded. So to get a first place, you need to score 80 above, second 70, and third 60 and above.
Okay.
So those are the minimum requirements, which then helps ensure that there's a benchmark from 1 year to the next. So you don't have a case where somebody just happens to win first prize because the overall standard was low.
So they try
and maintain their standards.
And that's why you have some of the same judges from year after year.
They've actually changed that. I think there are quite a few new judges this year. I know that Joshua Jay is judging in the close-up. I think it's his first time being a FISM judge. Mm-hmm. And I'm knowing the stage, there are also a few new ones. They always try and find some new talent and put some young blood in there.
Have they always had a Grand Prix winner? Or have there been years where there haven't been enough points to award a Grand Prix?
It's a good question, and I actually don't know the answers. My memory seems to, since 97, I think there's always been a Grand Prix, but I'm open to correction.
Okay, yeah. Not going to know you down there.
And you've now found Sean Farquhar.
We're just talking about Sean.
Hey there, Sean. Oh, my heavens. That's Greg Mitchell. I haven't seen you since the plane.
Wow, it's been a long time.
You're on the same plane,
yeah, we're on the same plane.
We're just recording. Hey, Sean, my goodness. Good to see you.
Oh, are we talking about magic?
Yes, we are.
Cool idea that is.
What are you going to be talking about for the next 7 days?
This is like FISM.
So, you just came from the SAM convention.
I did.
Craig was saying you're probably going to win the contest for going to the most conventions back to back. I thought I was,
prize.
But you
is
are.
Is there an award for that?
Because, yes.
Because, I like awards.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Magic
you
champion.
Don't have enough.
I don't have enough. I got two more at this one. I got the Presidential Citation of the SAM.
Yeah.
And I got a Heroes Award for pulling 13 people out of a burning building. So that
was
pretty cool.
That was a long time ago.
I know. They decided to get it now.
That was like, 20 years ago?
25 years ago.
Okay. You have to go back and listen to that podcast with Sean. He talks about that story.
Apparently, you made it famous when you did the podcast, and they went, really? We want to give a Heroes Award. So they gave me one.
I just wanted to say hello.
I'll leave you to it, Scott. We'll chat later.
All right. Thank you very much, Greg. And we will talk more later. You're going to be sitting and watching all the contests.
We're going to be seeing them all.
I do want to talk with you about kind of who you think is leading as we go along from time to time. So I'll be seeking you out. That'd be great. Thanks very much. And for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Craig Mitchell. Scotty out. And so as we continue to kind of walk around before we actually register, we still got about another hour and a half before we register. I'm sorry, Scott Wells from the Magic Word, and we're kind of in the dealer's area where they're setting up, and we have Peter Rogers and Heyman Crow. I keep wanting to say Aaron Crow because I just had Aaron on a couple weeks ago when he was on with the Illusionist over here.
That's true.
And so you guys have flown all the way from New Zealand.
Australia.
I was thinking Tony Wilson over here.
Tony Wilson's from New Zealand.
Yep.
We're still talking to him occasionally. don't understand him.
He's just a small island off to the side of you over there. That's right. Now, you guys have attended FISM, I know, in the past. And so have you, you performed in the past?
Yeah, I did. Here. 2003 in Den Haag.
That was when I first saw you perform in Den Haag. I was not at that. I was one in Den Haag in 88. So it wasn't...
I was there.
You were there.
He's performed at Magic Live. Twice, Magic Live, or once. You've been on Magic Live.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm jet lagged.
You're normally at Magic Live in Australia. So that's where you would have seen. Right, at Magic Live.
I'm going to be there again. That's just in a few weeks.
We are too. Oh, sorry. We're going to be the genies.
You're not going to get anything out of this recording. You're going, what is this?
Yeah. You're going to the Genie's
Bash. You're going to Genie Bash, but not to Magic Live.
No, I'm going to both.
Both, okay. And Raymond, you're going to go to...
Genie's, yeah.
Okay, and you're going to be performing there?
Apparently, yes.
Oh, your name's on the bill?
I know.
So you better show up, I guess.
He's closing the show.
Oh, are you? Do you know that yet?
Well, Richard sprung it on me, and I said, why have you got me closing? He said, oh, Richard's always been a great... fan or supporter, I guess. And I said, but you've got here that I'm doing a one-man show.
Yeah.
He says, yes. Oh, okay. Thanks for the pressure, Richard, but it's nice to be asked. Always nice.
So how many of the FISMs have you guys attended?
This is my sixth, I think.
The sixth, goodness.
Okay. You don't even seem that old.
Because every 3 years, you know.
Yeah, I actually saw Lance Burton. Was it 82?
Oh goodness, that would have been probably around there. Yeah.
And then I wasn't that keen on FISM in those days because they used to speak in three languages when they introduced every act and everything during the shows. And I thought, you know, they drag. So I didn't go to another one until Holland, which was, what, early 2000s.
And then becoming everyone after that.
I've been to everyone since then. Stockholm. Beijing.
I can't help you.
Blackpool.
Yeah.
And here, I think. Is that six? I think that's
six. Beijing, Blackpool, and then here. Yeah. And Raymond?
It's a blur.
Just a lot. You've been to
several. It's a great convention.
Well, where do you work mainly? Do you work your act on cruise ships?
No, mainly corporate work in Australia.
Do you?
Okay. And I'm with the Illusionists. We did Illusionists 2.0.
That's right, I saw your picture. I forgot about that.
And we just got...
Who else is working with you on the Illusionists 2.0?
Luz de Matos. Originally it was Luz de Matos, Yuho Jin, Aaron Crow, of course. A couple other people who nobody really remembers, I'm sure. One of them being me. Was Kevin James with that?
No, he was with Number One. Okay.
It's really thanks to Kevin James and
Jeff Hudson, that I got the gig anyway.
They recommended me, and that was lovely. And then we just got confirmed for Broadway this year. We're doing the...
Well, the 2.0 is going to be doing Broadway.
No, another version of The Illusions.
Okay.
It'll be another hybrid sort of production, I think.
And who's going to be in that one?
I'm going to be in that one.
Who else? I don't care. Congratulations.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? You're going to have your time on Broadway. That's going to be spectacular.
I think Hyojin's in it again. Jeff Hobson, of course, is wonderful. Dan Sperry's in it again, I believe.
Yeah, the one now is Adam Trent and Aaron Crow and with Jeff and Kevin.
It's great. 2.0 was a different sort of style that they went for. And
was that the steampunk kind of
No, that's 1903,
okay.
Which I saw as well when it first went up. And that was great.
I saw 2.0 in Sydney Opera House the first year that was on. And then I saw it last... January of this year in Melbourne. It was virtually a completely different show.
Oh, really?
Yes, because there's a lot of move in and out. The shows are designed to be modular.
Oh.
Because everybody has other bookings.
Obligations,
and,
sure.
It's like any major show. They've got a lot of backers, and sometimes those backers might pull out. Mm-hmm. So you sort of, if you're available, you can move into it, and if you're not, everybody's replaceable. But they've been very good to me. I got no complaints. So, yeah.
And so you start back up again when? You're coming to Broadway's the first one? In December or November.
We go over early November. They do a tryout for a couple of weeks somewhere else, I think, or a week or so. Put it together, because all new artists coming together for the show.
Right.
And then off we go. So, and then I bow out of it and might come back in again a bit later on.
Yeah.
And so that's all I can do. That's all I know. But... Simon Painter is going to be here at FISM.
And he's the producer, isn't he?
Yeah, one of the producers, so you should catch up with him. And
That's a good idea, because I haven't had a chance to talk with him. Jeff and Kevin had spoken quite highly of him earlier, and I'd like to have a chance to meet him.
He's turned magic around, really.
That's great.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And certainly in Australia, like, the crowds were, because it started in Sydney, the Illusionists originally, just as a fill-in program for
the theatre.
Yeah, they wanted something for the Christmas season, you know, New Year's, and Simon said, what about this? And they went, okay.
It broke records.
It broke records.
At the Opera House, Sydney Opera House.
Oh, it changed the whole demographic, everything.
Never had a big magic show there. They might have had in some of the small halls, just small magic shows, but in the main concert hall, they had this big magic show, and it
really surprised them.
They sold extra seats and nights and everything.
And Australia was not a big record magic world, really. No. Like, you know, it's a small population, really,
right,
the size of the country.
When I grew up, if you want a magic set, it was very hard to find one. Now you go into every toy shop in Australia, and they've got magic sets all lined up everywhere.
Wow.
Geographic shops and everywhere.
But are there a lot of professional magicians? I mean,
No.
Raymond is you.
Class, no.
I was going to say, Raymond is you. You're the one I know, can I think of in Australia.
No. There's many there. But
Aaron's in Belgium, I guess.
Yeah. It's similar to Australia.
Yeah.
Nice potato chips.
And Raymond and
it's like Tasmania.
Who else is there? I mean, how many? Tim Ellis.
Tim Ellis works. Phil Cass.
Phil Cass, another Australian magician. Yeah. Phil would be the biggest one in Sydney.
Sydney.
Yeah.
I had him come through and lecture in Houston many years ago. Great guy.
Yeah. He should be here.
Get a chance to visit him again. Nice fellow.
But when you're performing, you don't run into other acts, because in corporate they'll only book one magician.
Sure.
So I really don't know who's around.
Do you do any close-up as well, or just stage only?
No, I made a decision a number of years ago. I just wasn't enjoying close-up anymore.
Yeah.
And I did what the book said, you know, learn 4 or 5 tricks and do them really well. But you can get really bored with those 4 or 5 tricks, I'm telling you. And then eventually I went, people who love doing this should be doing this.
Yeah.
And I wanted to move into more cabaret, what we call cabaret, sort of stage club, I guess might be the equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I focused my attention on that. And that allowed me to experiment a lot more in what I was doing, and had a great time.
So do you do a lot of pantomime? I mean, a lot of
a bit of everything. So the nice thing,
audience participation, comedy?
Yeah, I coined the phrase unusualist a few years ago, just before the illusionist turned up. And that allowed me to pursue other interests.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't booked as a magician. So I could do some comedy. I could have a nice piece of music. I could do hand shadows. I could and it allowed
variety
me to do... Yeah, so I guess one of the reasons I'm popular to be booked, I think, is that you're getting 3 entertainers in one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been very fortunate that I've been in no hurry to develop. I've just slowly added skills over the years. And it's nice. It's really nice.
What do you prefer? The best? What do you feel that you do the best, or that you like doing the most?
I love doing the hand shadows, because it's the only thing I get to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And you can feel it a bit more when you do it. You can get into it more than when you're pretending there's something in front of you with magic. But I like it all. I just like... As I got older, I got less scared of being on stage and realized you only have so many Christmases left to perform with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so have a nice time and yeah, so I think
that's one. Well, let me ask you. That leads me to my last question. The name of my podcast is, you listened to what you said. I appreciate that. This course called The Magic Word.
I didn't give you any money yet. After I hear this one.
What would be your magic word? What is your philosophy of life? What do you...
Be human.
Be human. Wow. It's good.
If you can't be human, why would I watch you?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the most underrated commodity.
A lot of people are just, too paper, too stiff. They don't seem real.
Yeah,
and so if you're human,
Well, you know, you understand it. You know, when you get excited about magic when you're younger, it's about yourself. You're pushing yourself forward. But then eventually for me anyway, replace that for something for them more than you.
Yeah.
And if you make it so that it doesn't have to touch people emotionally, but if it's warm and if it's inviting, they're commodities I'd rather have in my act, you know, as a form of, you know, to find something that's enchanting rather than necessarily hilarious or...
Right.
Yeah. And it seems to be working for me. So.
It breaks the fourth wall, so it's easier when you're friends with the audience.
Yeah, kind of thing, if they like you, they'll like your magic.
That's right.
And if you like them, they'll like you even more.
Right. So. Very good. Peter? Had a chance to think about it. I've asked you this, I think, before, too.
Probably a few years ago.
Yeah.
Look, you've just got to enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy life. You've only got one life. Around. Make the most of it. And when you're performing, enjoy what you're doing.
YOLO would be it. Why, you only live once. Y-O-L-O.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. Peter Rogers and Raymond Crowe for The Magic Word. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast.com, and as we continue to walk around before we even are registered, run into another Crow. We just talked to Raymond Crow, and now we have Aaron Crow. Hey, Aaron.
Hi, Scott. Nice seeing you again.
Good seeing you as well. This is just a fantastic thing. Are you performing actually this year?
I am.
Okay.
I'm in two of the shows. I do one TV show on the 8th, and then the closing gala, I think, on the 10th.
Oh, my goodness. Are you going to be doing some of the same stuff you're doing in the Illusionist act? Or?
I have a striptease act, I don't know. Yeah. No, same.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The blindfold act and then the bow act that I've been doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the blindfold act, the one with the
candle wax? Yeah.
Okay, because I don't remember that you did that in Houston.
It wasn't in the show at that time.
No, okay.
I did it before in the show, and then...
You took it out?
By the time I went to Houston, no, it was no longer
in there. We talked about that when we were doing the podcast. So these guys want to go back and listen to that. That was an interesting conversation. And he explains how he does it, too. Go back and listen. No, he does.
Yes.
Just get people to go back and listen. So you just got here and are here for the week. Have you been to a lot of FISMs? Which number is this for you?
This is my third that I'm actually... So I did the first one in 2003, and then I won the mentalism category, and since then I've been to Stockholm and now this one.
Now here,
yeah.
Okay. And so you're just going to relax a little bit or for a while, and then before
Both.
You perform,
yeah.
And so.
So I had rehearsal already, so that's all taken care of.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it looks amazing, by the way.
Okay. Nice stage condition.
The stage, the lead walls, it's unseen. It's amazing.
It'll be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I asked you guys the other day about some of your favorite places to perform in some of the nice theaters, but you're saying this is really nice.
It's totally different than a theater, so
it's
huge. But it's going to be great working on that stage.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. That's great. What are you looking forward to doing aside from performing? I mean, I know you want to relax, but are you looking forward to seeing somebody?
I see a lot of friends here. I've been performing in Italy quite a lot, so
yeah.
I see a lot of people, Italians, also guys from Belgium who are here, so it's a lot of relaxing, drinking a wine.
That's what we were about to do, is go have a little bit of wine over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, as far as Belgium, how many magicians are there from Belgium? I wouldn't imagine that is so large.
It's not that large of a community in Belgium. Yeah. But I've seen like 7 friends already by this time. So.
That's good.
And there will be more coming. So.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. That was Aaron Crowe for The Magic Word.
Always got
you up.
Here.
All right, Scott Wells from the Magic Word
Scott
Podcast.
Scott Wells. Hey, magic what?
Magic Word.
Magic Word.
Yes.
Oh.
And you had a lot of words last time. In fact, we ended up doing two podcasts. We spoke for 2 hours.
Funny.
And, and it was one of our highest, most rated podcasts.
Really?
That's right. We had 12 people who listened, so it must have been really great.
No,
as opposed to our normal 10. You know,
I still haven't got the 12 pounders.
See, that's why I really don't want to give you the real numbers, because you'll probably say, where's mine?
Mm-hmm.
I think I do know you.
Yeah.
So, you're here at FISM, and how many of these have you been coming to for a number of years?
I haven't. I'm not a regular FISM going, and that's not insulting to FISM, it's just that I work a lot.
Sure, that's a good thing.
I went to the one in Switzerland way back, and then... That
was your first one?
That was my first one. I had to leave early, because my dad took ill, and then... The next one was Holland. I drove back through the continent because I was working in Austria. And then I think this is the next one. I haven't been to many.
We sat together. Maybe that was Holland. When it was the Hague, or was it Sweden? I think it may have been the Hague. When we had
Den Haag.
Den Haag. It was like 88.
Yeah, it would be. Who's counting?
Well, I remember, because Kathy was saying, well, we said that Paul and Debbie came and sat at our table and way back then. So
I probably stuck it with the stuck it with the bill.
Yeah, well, that's why I figured you'd do this for free. So you owe me. But you're going to be doing something tomorrow on the bill.
Well, this is not my idea.
Okay.
Have you been in the hall?
I've not. I've heard it's fantastic. Eric Kroll is saying it's wonderful.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Except it's phenomenal for television.
Oh. But not for the audience.
I'm a little pimple out there somewhere. It's a 3,000-seater.
So your cup and ball will go great.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's great.
Ask me why.
Why?
Because they said, will you do the cup and ball?
And you said?
It ain't heavy.
That's why you're doing it. That's why you teach it on that wonderful DVD.
Thank
What's the name of that again, by the way?
Bravura. Luis Tomatos is grateful.
That's probably available for sale, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is. Actually, somebody just thanked me for Bravura. An American pro who said, he says, why did you do that? And it seems simple. My greatest, bestest friends, Gil Lini, tremendous knowledge about the illusion. Ali Bungle, overall great knowledge. Yeah. Both died, and all their knowledge went. And I thought, you never read a book by a Kalanag or a Dante where they tell you the lighting plot for the thread, that kind of thing.
But you really need to know to reproduce that effect. Sure.
That's it. Or it's gone forever.
Yeah.
Or somebody has to start all over again. So when I was 28, I was a boy genius, and I created this act. And it has fed me, moved me into luxury all my life. And so I thought I should pass this on.
Reminds me of Terry Seabrook's Around the World in a Baking Tin. And you're going around the world with a cup and ball.
Yeah, last year, I probably upset somebody listening to this who spent the money maybe. But I really do not like the appearing helicopter trick. It is, for me, the worst illusion of all time.
And now we're going to hear why.
They hold up a damn big sheet, and then they think the audience is going to be surprised when they drop it, and there's a helicopter there.
Hmm.
No, they're not, because...
Something big's going to be behind there.
Yeah, and the sheet's been up there forever, so it doesn't work. And I did a show in France last year, year before, and I went to the grocery store, and I bought the bits I needed for a 12-15-minute comedy bit.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, I think it was a Swiss pickpocket who said to me, Monsieur Daniels, I can spend $90,000 and buy the helicopter, which means not very much, or I can go to the supermarket and tear the place apart with this stuff that you buy. And I said, well, you got it about right. I just, I have a motto, kiss a tit, and it stands for keep it simple, stupid, and think it through.
Mm-hmm.
Fine by the big illusions. I love them. I've done them. But really think the presentation through. See, if magic doesn't baffle you, it ain't magic.
That's true. Then it's just some other form of entertainment. You could be singing or dancing or something, or you're just telling jokes. It's just comedy.
Musical.
Musical.
It could be Miss Saigon.
Well, reminds me.
I don't like the helicopter in that either.
I was going to say, at the end, they have just a big production. Well, like Max Maven said in his DVD that was called Nothing, and that was pretty much, you just...
Yeah, I've heard Max's lectures. I thought the same thing, yeah.
It was nothing.
Oh, no. Sorry, Max. Kidding.
Yeah. But he has a lot of really good ideas on there. I was saying going by the stationery store and picking up a few things that you wouldn't necessarily plan an act around it, but if in a pinch, you could...
Yeah, well, I went to Spain one time. I did my set. And the next morning, went to the office and said, what time's the flight out?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, hey, senor, tonight you do the show. I said, I do? She says, your manager not tell you? I said, no. Who's it for? And it was for the same people, the same audience. And I'd done everything. And Debbie said, what are you going to do? I said, we're going shopping. And you can't. If you've read all the old books and you've absorbed the stuff and you've made the notes, it's all in your head and you can do a show with anything or with nothing.
So what are the books you recommend? Like for the basic books that if they were going to be a magician or a young man or a woman who was going to be involved?
Yeah, without any doubt, I would pick on the Encyclopedia of Impromptu Magic, Gardner.
Gardner.
Without any doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You get that. Oddly enough, Greater Magic, which I've just finished reading yet again,
mm-hmm.
and still find ideas in there.
Do you? Okay.
Oh, yes. And if you want a feel for magic, read the prologue and the epilogue of Greater Magic.
Good advice.
Yeah, in the beginning. there was magic. And and then I won't tell you, just get that book and read the end. And I would suggest also, if you want to know how stand-up is created, I would suggest you get the Ken Brook Book of Magic, because everything Ken sold you, the instructions, you could walk out and do them, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And then I would recommend, I don't normally recommend DVDs, but Bravura is pretty good.
I've heard that. I've heard that from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Not for me. That's right. All right. Well, I know you're going to be busy the next few days, and that's why I wanted to grab you and say hello and just chat for a bit. We might get a chance later to see kind of what you thought of the convention as we get towards the end. And
yeah, that'd be good. I've got to tell you. I did Masters of Magic last year. This guy, Walter Rolfo, really knows how to put a show on.
The producer?
Yeah. He's the man who's organized this FISM for Italy. And I'm telling you, he's a nervous wreck now. Yeah. But at the moment, the spectacle out there, it's going to knock your eyes out. It's just wonderful.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, that sounds great. Thank you. That's Paul Daniels. And for The Magic Word, this is Scotty out. All right, so I just finished talking then with Paul Daniels. Turn around, and then who I see? Another good friend, Mr. Boris Weil. Hey there, Boris.
Hey, hey, Scott. How are you?
I guess in French, I'd say, starts au revoir. We're not leaving yet.
it's almost like Italian. I would say bonjour, and yes. It's bonjour.
Bonjour, that's bonjour. Right. Yes, there's no.
There's so no. There's no in French.
Are you performing this year at FISM?
You won't believe that, but for the last 18 years, I have duties at FISM every single time.
Yes.
I had. And this is the very first time I can enjoy.
Oh,
finally,
enjoying no lecture, no performing, no competition.
Just seeing friends, just enjoying watching the performances, and this is it. So I'm really looking forward to it because the first time in 18 years.
Now, after this, you're going to be coming and joining us in Jacksonville for the IBM convention.
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
We'll be talking again once we get there a little bit as well.
Oh, yes.
For
so
the podcast.
It's going to be great to be there. I will celebrate my birthday there.
Oh, so we're having a party in your room or something?
I don't know yet. But
I wonder if it's on a Thursday night,
something.
We'll have martinis, a part of our magic and martini
Ooh,
night.
You know, all right. That's say. Good.
So what are you looking forward to seeing or doing at this convention that is different from the others?
Well, yes, it's you know, FISM is all about the competition. So, I want to see some acts that I've seen before and they improved it. Some friends will be on stage and I want to, of course, support them and be there for them.
So you have some friends from Paris who are...
We have about 12 guys from France this year, which is good in all categories. So, yes, of course. And Yann Frisch, who is the current Grand Prix winner in close-up, will be on stage this time and is tomorrow morning. So,
He's competing on stage?
Competing on stage.
Wow.
And the biggest secret has been kept around his act. Even me, I don't know.
I was going to say you can't tip anything because you don't know anything.
No, I don't know anything because he wanted, you know, to keep the surprise for everyone, including his friends. So I was like, oh, okay, but it's exciting.
Well, when he performed his close-up act at 4F,
we
just knew immediately that is the act that's going to win.
Oh, yes. Oh,
that's
definitely.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
So
definitely.
He's probably kept this under wraps thinking that people might think that's great,
yes,
too.
Yes, this
see.
Time he doesn't want to show before, so we can't say these things.
Yeah. He is a very creative guy.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's some other people who are friends of yours who are going to be competing and you're looking forward. Now, you're not a judge, are you, by chance?
I'm not this year, so yeah, I can speak freely.
How do they determine who are judges and how long do you set as a judge?
Oh, it's the FISM Presidium is just in charge of that. So they want to renew now a little more often the judges because they are FISM Continental Championships. So, and to be a FISM judge, you have to be a FISM qualified and you need to do it 2 times just to be able then to be to any FISM Continental Championship in the world to be a judge again. So they don't need all the same 6 or 7 or 9 people. They need to expand this number so they get more people to travel to Asia for FISM Asia, to North America,
right,
etc. So
they're acting as judges, let's say at the IBM convention and other, or just at FISM conventions, you're saying?
Oh, just for the FISM Continental Championship.
Okay,
yes.
For the Continental.
Yes, absolutely.
I see.
Yes.
Yes.
And then they decided they want to renew, of course. And I did it twice already, so now I'm FISM qualified, I would say. So they can ask me again for Continental Championship one day or maybe for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I was happy this year just to relax.
And you were a judge in close-up.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, at FISM I did twice. In Stockholm 2006, I was judge, and Obi was the chairman. And in 2009, I was chairman of the close-up panel in Beijing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot of traveling.
It's a lot of traveling, and it's lots of exciting experiences, because to be a FISM judge is quite an experience.
Right.
It's something quite unique.
How does it differ from being a judge in other contests?
Number of contestants.
Oh, I guess that's true. You got a week long, like hundreds of contestants, suppose a dozen or so.
Yes, and also and the level, to be honest, too. You're there to judge people from different countries, different culture, etc. And close-up magic from one country to another might be very different. And so we have to judge very different things. And it's difficult. And I know lots of people say it's hard to judge art. How can you judge art and how can you make it? But it's even more difficult, I think, at FISM. And that's why I respect the work of the judges and everything, because it's tough sometimes, because the arts are so different and the people are, they're offering you so many different new things, and that you're like, oh, how can I be, this one is better than this one. But at some point, it's a competition, so you have to rank them. So, and that's what the judges at FISM try to do each time, the best they can. And nobody is happy, of course, because there is only three prizes in each category, but still, that's the rule, we all know that, and that's why it's a difficult competition, and it's exciting also to be there.
Well, that was what I was going to say. Whenever that I have judged on some national scale,
sure, you did that too, of course, Scott. Yeah.
Yes, that in some cases that the people who have lost will come to me, and I will tell them, you know, what it is they've done right or wrong, or
my,
and I think that a judge should be open, so that way they can discuss that, and I believe that's how the artist will improve by learning what the judges may think, right or wrong, at least. But I have had some people who just completely argue with
you,
and they'll say, no, I did it because of this. Okay, fine, but it just didn't work. But you should have liked it because, you know, there's just no arguing with some people. You know?
Yeah,
some artists are very particular. You know, it's hard to.
Well, we're talking about something which is really emotional, which is passionate, and when it involves passion, emotion, sometimes it's over reason, and of course people don't understand why. But it's at FISM we have criteria. I mean, we're all looking for something new. We're all looking for something that shows what the future of magic is.
Right.
And sometimes people don't get that. I mean, you see like a younger guy, maybe not everything is perfect, but we need to give him a prize because we see that this he just represents the future of magic, and the act itself is worth a prize here at FISM because it's already a high level. And so yes, that's what we're looking at judges, I think. As judges, we're looking for those acts.
Yeah. And people who are, again, selected as judges, is there a committee that chooses the judges, or who how do they find a judge?
Well, the FISM Presidium is in charge of that, and they just choose the judges on their career and what the reference is and what they've done before. Like, I can't speak for myself, of course, because
you were a winner.
Being a FISM winner and then being booked lecturer and performer at FISM, and you've been pretty much on both sides of the table, so now, you know, traveling all over the world as I do too is
a good thing,
because
comparison.
I've seen lots of things, and I can say, well, this thing, I've seen that before, so maybe we should not give him a prize or a higher score because I've seen this done by somebody else, and it's all about this. It's a mix of knowledge, it's a mix of emotion also, of feeling the act. It's a mix of technique, of course, originality. It's a really, it's a complex thing. It's really a complex, and that's why we spend lots of time afterwards just to talk about the acts and it's also something that you see an act on Monday and the other one on Friday. And on Friday night or Saturday, when you need to put everything together, you need to remember perfectly the act on Monday, as perfect as the one on Friday. And it's also the difference at FISM. It's the time range of judging compared to other like IBM, SM, or other competition, where it's all one day, or pretty much 2 days maximum. So, and it's easier for the judges because it's fresh in your mind. But it's FISM, you've seen hundreds of performances. It's not easy.
Obviously, the question would be, is there a disadvantage then to be in the competition early as opposed to being fresh in one's judge's memory later in the week?
Well, if you really want to be honest, and I want to be honest, it's performing on the first day in the morning and performing on Friday afternoon, it's not the same. And I would say sometimes it's not fair, but there's no...
You think some people have more energy the first thing out and they may be more tired later? Or you think it's just the judges may have forgotten the first person out? Or
As judges, we need to be, you know, 100% during the entire time, yeah. And we need to judge everybody the same way.
Right.
But let's face it, we're human beings.
Exactly.
And the audience is the same thing. You know, the audience might react better on Tuesday rather than on Saturday morning at 8, but there's nothing you can do about it. It's about time, and nobody can... You cannot put everybody at the same afternoon,
right,
where everybody's fresh and nothing has happened in the morning. It has to be... People have to be in the morning, people have to be in the afternoon, some the first day, some the last day. And you have to deal with that. But
right.
I remember there was a long time ago at FISM an Asian act, and it was the first act, the first day. And not everybody has arrived yet. And he won a prize in Grand Illusions. He won a prize. The guy won a prize.
Okay.
So when it's good, it's
they
good.
Remember,
Even if it's the first day, the first act, this guy, the curtain opened, everybody's ready. We're all like, wow, that's the competition starting. Woo! And it was a great start, and the guy got a prize. And some other guys was the Friday afternoon at 4 p.m., which everybody would think, oh, that's the best spot ever, because now the judges have seen pretty much everyone, so if you're good, they will put a higher score. And no, it just didn't work because the act wasn't as good. So
that's a good point. Towards the end, you really got to be good because they're thinking, we've really seen some really good acts. This guy better be good. So there's a lot of pressure, I think, even on the later one.
It's FISM, and we know it as a judge, so we have
luck of the draw. How do they draw the names? What order they're in?
Oh, the
rank,
people?
The order, yeah. The people.
Oh, yes.
The acts.
It must be, according to the rules, it has to be at random, except if some people have some particular technical requirements. Like if you have, to do a Grand Illusion act and you got lots of props on stage, a lot of setting, you can say that. And you say, well, I need 15 minutes, or like 13 minutes to get everything ready on stage. So in that case, they might put you after an intermission, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't slow down, you know, the rhythm of the competition,
right,
and you don't have a big break between two acts, you know, like, I don't know, something. Somebody at 8 in the morning is performing, and then you get a 20-minute break because the next act is long to prepare, and you're like, oh, yeah, I should have, you know, I come a little later because I wanted 20 more minutes sleep in my bed.
But
right, in that case, you would put it after an intermission, for instance, or first in the morning, because the guy can set up everything in advance, and it's not a problem for other people, for the organization, for the judges. So, but otherwise, it has to be a random.
The people, that's a good thing you brought up there, as far as the preparation for before their show, sometimes takes more time than others.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are being put in a particular order, do they tell you, okay, I need 20 minutes to prepare, or I just need 3 minutes, or whatever? So
Yes, of course, they have to tell in advance. They have to say in advance, well, I need this, I need this time, I need la, 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 la. So, and then I guess also they try, when they arrange, you know, the people in the sections,
mm-hmm,
they say, oh, you're going to be in this section here, like Tuesday morning. But then this guy needs a longer preparation than this one, so maybe we will switch these two guys.
Sure, that
so
makes sense.
It just makes sense for the, you know, for the flow
and
of of everything.
Sure.
So yeah, of course. So, but otherwise, yeah, you just sometimes. I mean, some people have done it several times, and they were like first day, last day, morning, afternoon. It's
never know.
You never know. That's the thing of FISM also. You need to be on stage at 8 in the morning, like, makeup sharp, good shape, and you produce your dove, and everybody's
fresh.
Like, whoa, it's 8 in the morning, I admire that guy.
Extra points for that, that's right.
Yeah, we should not do that. As a judge, I didn't do that. I was just like, okay, well, that's your spot. That's
right.
It.
Whether it's 8 in the night or 8 in the morning.
Yes, okay, you won't get any extra points for that guy, but if you're good, you're good.
Yeah, any time of the day or night, that's right.
Oh, yes, definitely,
all right.
Yes.
Good. Morris, thank you very much.
Thanks,
I appreciate the insight, because I know a lot of people who are wanting to know more about FISM and what this is all about, and as far as the judging, and I've talked with a few people.
And you only get that from a FISM judge.
And I thought that would be ideal here. So there you go. On the magicpodcast.com, this is Scotty Elf.
Oh.
And along with Boris Watt.
Well, I hope you're getting as excited as I am listening to some of those guys and some of the stories from conventions that they have attended in the past and what they're looking forward to seeing here at this year's FISM here in Rimini. So, for this first preamble, I hope that you've enjoyed it. I know I've had a great time, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow and for the next several days here from Rimini, Italy. This is Scotty out.